that old truck driving song? There's a truck driving song. I'm not going to sing it for you, but yeah, you're welcome. The lyrics are like, give me 40 acres and I'll turn this rig around. It's the easiest way I have found. Okay, I did sing it for you. Sorry. I said I wouldn't, and I did. Hey everybody, this is Martin Sender. Give me 40 acres and I'll turn that rig around. Well, if you were driving a four-horse chariot on the wall of Babylon, in between one of the 250 towers and 150 gates, you could turn that rig around on top of the wall. The wall was that wide. You know, like you see people walking on the Great Wall of China, it's not like the wall of, you know, your basement when they're pouring the footer for your house and that's a little narrow thing the size of a brick. No, this wall was like a freaking four-lane highway on top of the wall. And you could take a four-horse chariot, which I think probably a wealthy person would have a four-horse chariot. Four horsepower the chariots were back then, that one particular. And you could turn that sucker around. That's how wide the wall was. And the very palace of Nebuchadnezzar was like itself 7 miles long. It had arches and the gardens, the famous hanging gardens of Babylon. He had all kinds of flowers and plants, and apparently the growing season was lengthy, and the whole world come there to marvel at the kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar had built for himself. And here's the key. It was his achievement, and he was swelled with pride over it. And we're going to read a passage here where he is waxing eloquent over his achievement. Reminds me of something Paul said. For his achievement are we. Paul said that about us. For his achievement are we. He said it to the, I think he said that to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers in Athens, did he not? His achievement are we. We are God's achievement. God isn't our achievement. We don't make God into our own image. Oops, unless you're a Christian. Then you make God into your own image. You have what you think is a free will. Of course, there it stops. Humans have a free will, but God can't. So, what do you know? Inconsistency. Unbelievable. So, anything that is built high, this is a warning. I would have given this warning to Nebuchadnezzar. I give it to you now, if any of you need this warning. The higher, greater you want to build a kingdom, the more sure it is that God is going to tear it down. Now, strangely enough, I've been accused of building a kingdom because I have books. I have, are you ready for this? A website. And I attach my name to my website. It's martinzender.com. There's a reason I do that, because my name's Martin Zender. It's not a kingdom, because I talked Friday about openness, and I give everything to God with an open hand. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't do this. The governments of this world, the kingdoms and powers of this world and religion don't do that. They're not willing every day for their kingdom to go kabloom, kapowee, to fall apart. But I live every day. I recommend this course to you. I live every day realizing that everything I have is on loan from God. And there is nothing I have that I did not obtain from him. And I'm building the best thing I can for him with what he gave me. I'm an investor of the talents God gave me. I'm engaged. I'm working. I'm putting out a website, because people go to websites nowadays to find stuff out. And my website looks good, I think, because people don't want to go to websites that look like crap. It's not my kingdom. Hello. If you think it's my kingdom, you could not be more wrong. Because, folks, many days, I'm despairing of life itself. I'm ready to leave this tabernacle. I'm talking about my body. Yes, I know I have a magnificent body. Thank you very much. I'm willing to leave it today. Because I know that if this tabernacle is torn down, I have one that's aeonian in the heavens. Now, here's my question to you. if I'm willing for my earthly tabernacle to be torn down, what do you think about my website? Folks, I've written books, 8, 9 books that are not even published yet. I have 8 or 9 out. I have 8 out. I have 8 more lined up. What if my computer blew up? I have this stuff saved, but what if even where I saved it is blown up? I would shrug and say, oh, well, and I would start over. Because I don't give a crap about any kingdom that I supposedly have. It's an open hand. It's acknowledged as a gift. God gives, God takes away. Blessed be the name of God, the subjector. I don't subject him. He subjects me. Jeez, if I'm the king of the world, it just doesn't feel like it. Somebody wrote me a letter once, said, Martin, you just think you're... So it was just crazy. Like, you think you're... master of your domain, king of the world, whatever. I said, really? You know, I thought I was suffering through a wicked eon that I couldn't wait to get out of. Really? Is that what I am? You don't know me very well, do you? No, you don't know me. You know, you might be talking about yourself. Classic. Classic. Mental, psychological, wacko, tricko called projection, where you project upon other people how you would be if you were in my shoes, or if you had my magnificent website, or if you wrote books as fantastic as mine. Good time to plug First Idiot in Heaven. I think it's the best book I ever wrote. Then you would feel you had a kingdom, but I don't. I don't feel that way. The walls was not the cause. The walls directly, the actual walls, were not the cause of Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation. It was the motive behind it. His motive was to build himself up, was to build himself a kingdom for his own honor, the esteem of his honor. And it was our Lord himself who laid down the principle that everyone exalting himself shall be humbled, Luke 14:11. That's a principle. Everyone exalting himself shall be humbled. That's how I started this show today, isn't it? So you got to recognize the difference between exalting yourself and doing a good job. Okay? You do a good job. If you're talking in front of people, you try to look nice. You try to do a good job. But I think if we all continue to recognize that it's God operating in us to will and to work for the sake of his delight, then I think that we're safeguarded. And we're not going to be like Nebuchadnezzar. What mother would name her son Nebuchadnezzar in the first place? Imagine how hard it was for him to learn to spell his name when he started school in the 5th grade. N-E-B-U-C. That would be like, okay, let's just stop there. Try to get that. N-E-B-U-C. No, not too much. Neb. They didn't. I think they called him Nebby as a nickname. Or his nieces and nephews call him Uncle Neb, maybe. Nobody calls him, called him Nebuchadnezzar. I wouldn't have. He'd be Nebby, the Nebster. I think I would call him the Nebster, for sure. That's it. Well, he had a dream in Daniel chapter 4. And this poor guy was, you know, he ate bad pizza every night because this guy had some really wacko dreams. The image, chapter 2. This in chapter 4 and chapter 7, the image of the four beasts coming out of the water. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house. Well, no kidding. You're the king of the world. And flourishing in my palace, a dream I perceived, and it's terrifying me. And portents on my bed, even the visions of my head are flustering me. Then from me a decree was promulgated to bring in before me all the wise men. Of Babylon, in fact, thank you. All the wise men of Babylon, and the interpretation of the dream they shall make known to me. Then went in the sacred scribes, the magi, the Chaldeans, and the hieromancers, and I'm stating the dream before them, yet its interpretation they did not make known to me. Now, the first part of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, I don't know if you know this, but when you're trying to establish a kingdom for yourself, when you're trying to get to the top of the hill, there is much toil and strife. Lots of hassles to be king of the world at first. Once you get going, things start to roll. You're the king of the world. You can sit back and enjoy it. and Nebuchadnezzar subbed him after kingdom. And he came to Jerusalem several times to, you know, clean up shop, took all the vessels, the drinking vessels and the things, melted the gold from the temple, brought it to Babylon, carried out these great projects, built this humongous city where, you know, a semi-truck could turn around on the walls. And now his work was finished. And he has his ease. And he's at the very point of his power at this time. He's built a world empire. What have you done lately, folks? This guy built a world empire. All right, I feel good if I write a book or get a show done. How about that? What a great resume enhancement, huh? Built world empire, you know, right after, you know, worked at McDonald's or whatever. But I have this theory about God that he has a reason for everything. And so there was a reason that Nebuchadnezzar was not hindered in building his kingdom. Sometimes you think that when God greases the tracks for you that, you know, this is a great thing. Well, sometimes he's setting you up for a greater lesson. And so he did not hinder Nebuchadnezzar in his task of building a world empire. God wants him to be successful, just like God wants Obama to be president of the United States for at least 2 terms, unless he declares himself king, in which case he will be president forever. Not. So people under the assumption that because God facilitates a thing, that it's necessarily the great thing. It might not be. It may be a preliminary to a lesson of humbling. Just live every day, one day at a time, if you would. So now is when God intervenes. And interestingly enough, I'll close with this, a similar fate is going to await our generation. That this generation is going to build a one-world government. And they think that because God is seems to be with them, because he's making it smooth for them, he's greasing the tracks, and he's giving them green lights, and they're building and building and building, and they're going to do that at the time of the end. And yet it is at the pinnacle of the power, when everything seems to be peachy, that everything is not going to be peachy, and God is going to move, and the kingdom is going to be taken from the end time rulers of our day. It was taken from Nebuchadnezzar, as we're going to find out tomorrow. It was restored to him. Not so. The kingdom is going to be built at the end of this thing. It's going to be taken from them, and it's going to be replaced with the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ.